Now, this is The Big House with Kevin John.
Yeah, good morning from Kevin John, sitting in for Darren James, and we're broadcasting live from Solandra Rise Retirement Village, 5 Harmony Chase in Clyde North. The jazz performance is about to begin. If you can get here in the next couple of hours, you will be able to see Solandra Rise, have a bit of a look around, a beautiful retirement village. And they've made us very, very welcome here today. As we would like to make very welcome now, Ahmed Ali, who is a director of AA Business Brokers, experts when it comes to buying and selling businesses. And 96900 693, if you'd like to speak to Ahmed, of course, we're going to talk about owning a business, a small business, a larger one. Do you own one? How easy has it been? How hard has it been? Are you thinking about doing it? Lots of questions through this next portion of The Big House. Ahmed, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
Terrific, thank you. Good to speak with you, and thanks for coming in, because there's always a lot of talk about businesses, whether it's the right time to get into it, how much you need to get into business, what support you have along the way. What's your experience, and what can you bring to the table this morning?
Certainly. Thanks for giving me the opportunity to talk to your listeners. I'm an experienced businessman myself. I spent years in the public service, 28 odd years. I decided at sort of 40 plus years of age to get out and try something different. People are coming to us to get our advice about buying or selling businesses because they're looking for a change in life, more challenges. People get a little bit bored from the mundane 9 to 5, regimented work
yep.
style. And that's what we specialize in, assisting buyers and sellers to make that choice from a huge supply of businesses we have in our basket of goodies to sell. And similarly, we assist vendors, that's an important part of our process as well, to assess their business value, market it appropriately, and try and match them with suitable buyers.
So the business we're talking about is AA Business Brokers, of which you are a director.
That's
Ahmed,
right.
So, a lot of people dream about owning their own business, no matter what it may be. What's the reality of that dream?
The reality can be achieved, it's not impossible, but you need to be sensible about it. So if you're a buyer, people come to us at various stages, and what I must add here, people come to us a lot more, increasingly so, in that sort of 30 to 40 age group, where they've had a few years in a particular corporate position, thinking that it's time for a change. They sit down and talk to us. They may have a number of sessions. Our time, by the way, is free to buyers. We're happy to meet and consult and give them advice. We dominate the Victorian marketplace. We're recognised for giving people sensible, calm, collective advice about how you make a decision. One of the things I look at, of course, is your financial position, your family situation. What is it that you really want? If you've got $50,000 and you're dreaming of buying a $1 million business, well, the reality is that that's not achievable.
Mm.
But there are many businesses out there that are for everyday mums and dads and for people at various stages of their life who are just looking for a change.
96900 693 or 131332. Have you owned or sold a business yourself? Do you own one now? How easy or hard is it to maintain the dream? And when times get difficult, how do you cope? Questions for Ahmed this morning, 96900 693. There's a lot of people wanting a sea change, and part of that sea change is to buy their own business. What's the most popular business people want these days?
I think in the main you talk about sea change, but we've got a lot of regional businesses for sale. And generally speaking, businesses in the hospitality industry,
sure.
cafes, restaurants, takeaway, food, all that sort of stuff. But the cafe type by far outnumber in terms of demand and sales, the requests and expectations of buyers. And, people want to move into a little resort town somewhere, tourist town, and, look at the opportunity of opening up a business. Opening up a business from brand new is a different set of rules and expectations and challenges versus buying a business that's already trading, where the current owners have been there a number of years and
sure.
feel it's time to move on.
And which would you recommend? Something that's already established, that has proven its worth in its area, so you don't actually have to go through that process of trying to build something up from scratch.
You've said it perfectly, Kevin. You know, it just puzzles me sometimes. People want to spend $300,000-$500,000 from, you know, four walls and putting it into a business, open up on day one. There's not a dollar's worth of trade, no history. It's just a risk. And, you know, I certainly can't comfortably recommend that. Although in some of the newer franchises, that's what they specialize in, opening up new stores and looking for new clients. By far the safest, in my view, and the most economic way to enter the system is to buy a business that's already got a number of years trading history that can be proven, and there's a bit of safety in that, so that from day one you've already got customers lined up.
So Amit, those checks and balances before you go into a business that is for sale is vital, isn't it?
Absolutely. And through the process of buying through my office, our specialist brokers guide you through the due diligence, we call it. That is, after we reach agreement on purchasing a particular business, we our heads of agreement to proceed with a deposit includes a due diligence period, which gives you total access to talk to your accountants, lawyers, talk to us, talk to the owners of the business. It may include a trial of 1 or 2 weeks to just check the figures, do all that in the comfort of knowing that even though we hold your deposit, it is refundable if during that due diligence period you decide it's not for you.
What's the strangest or maybe the most unique business you've ever been involved in?
Okay.
There's one left of centre.
Yeah, left of centre. I'll just think about it as we talk.
All right.
I've sold some woozies, and we sold an online business recently, where it surprised us. That's the new industry that we're moving into as well. Online businesses selling ladies' underwear and all that sort of lingerie stuff took us all by surprise. How quickly, in fact, we did sell it. But we sell the A to Z of the business industry. So whether it's industrial, commercial, hospitality, bakeries, cafes, fast food or manufacturing, you know, we sell the lot. Yeah, but I'll try and think of something that's particularly
right, not
different.
A problem. It was something that entered my mind. I thought, well, you've had a lot of experience. There must be some unique businesses. Also, Amit, in your experience, what's the hardest part about owning your own business? Would it be the hours?
Well, this is when we start to talk to a buyer, these are the things we try and bring to their attention. Now, it's okay to say, look, that business over there is great. It's looking like the owner's making a lot of money. But some of the things that we ask people to delve into is, does it suit their lifestyle? What are their family commitments? What's their financial commitment? Is it a food court in a shopping center operating 7 days a week versus 5 days a week in a strip suburban shop, which is less intense? Fewer customers maybe, less intake, less income maybe, but different set of expectations. You know, so people are no longer wanting to work 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. But these are the challenges.
Yeah.
You know, and this is very important. And the novelty can often wear off.
Very quickly, I would imagine.
If you don't like serving customers, for example, it might look good initially, but when you're serving dozens and dozens and dozens, if you're lucky enough to have a very good business, it can be challenging, and you've got to be able to deal with that as well. You're not going to always make it to 6 o'clock, you know, home time for tea with the kids. So all of these things, staffing issues, for example. So these are the challenges that need to be considered before you enter the business. And, you know, the other thing also is we say to people, look, business is not a lifetime commitment. It may be 1, 2, 3, 4 years. You put your foot on the accelerator, you build the business up, you increase its capital value, and then you resell.
Yeah, that's a good idea. 96900693. We'd love your experiences this morning. Maybe you have a question for Ahmet. You're most welcome to pose that. Or a life experience would be fantastic. Did you go into a business, maybe as Ahmet said, you know, 2 years, thinking that you were going to be there for 2 years, and here it is 20 years later? Was it a roaring success? 96900693, or maybe it wasn't so. Your experience this morning on 13 13 32 as well. 17 past 10, it is the Big House on 3AW. Good morning. Ahmet Ali is with us, Director of AA Business Brokers, experts when it comes to buying or selling businesses. Taking your calls this morning on business, 96900693. Good morning, John.
Yeah, good morning. How are you?
Terrific, thank you. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just going to make a couple of comments. I had a corporate career of about 25 odd years with about three different companies, and got a redundancy at 46, and started looking around for sort of similar work. I was in management at the time. Was sort of told that 46 was a bit too old, and I'd probably struggle to get anything else. So my wife and I started our own small business, and that was sort of 6.5 years ago. And we have a look back, really.
What sort of business, John?
We've got an outdoor furniture business. We import outdoor furniture products from mostly Vietnam and China, but also some from Indonesia. And, we started from scratch about 6.5 years ago. And, we've got a couple of stores now and an online store.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ahmet, how important is it, like John obviously did, to do your homework before you launch into spending not only that amount of money, but that amount of time?
Firstly, John, congratulations. 46 is not too old. Well done. I was 45, senior position in the public service and former Australian consul in Toronto, Canada. And I just said, you know, enough. I need to move out and see what the real world is doing and how it operates. And I've never looked back. And I congratulate you for making that decision. It just shows that there are many opportunities out there. And I'm sure having got your package, as you said, you know, you used it wisely. You will have, you know, assessed the financial viability of that project, and, you know, the success brings along its financial and other personal rewards. Well done.
So, John, at what point did you realise, you know, you were doing okay? Was it after the first year or second year, and you said to your wife, well, this looks like it's a goer?
I think probably well into the second year. The first year was pretty hard yards. I think having spent so much time in corporate, there was a lot of other things that I had to get used to. The first thing was I didn't have finance departments and HR departments and IT departments to rely on anymore, so you have to make all that happen for yourself. The second thing is there's no doubt, at least at the outset, the hours that you put in are significantly more than if you've got a normal employee sort of job. You know, you're sort of used to avoid working on Sundays like the plague when you work for someone else, but once you work for yourself, all those hours go out the window. But eventually you work through that. You get a little bit of infrastructure around yourself, and you can start being a little more flexible again, which is great. But it was probably well into the second year, I think, before we started to go, yeah, we think we're onto something here.
Fantastic. John, as Ahmet said, congratulations. What's your wife's name?
Christina.
Christine, well, to you and Christina, well done. I hope it goes on for another many, many years, and you are just as successful. It continues. What's it called, John?
It's called Outdoor Living Direct. We've got stores in Cheltenham and Hoppers Crossing in Melbourne, and an online store where we serve Australia.
Outdoor Living Direct.
Correct.
Excellent stuff. Nice to speak with you. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning. Look, thanks for taking my call. I'm just ringing. I've got a friend who is now experiencing some ill health. She's in the late 60s, and she's got a dry cleaning business in southwest Sydney, and she makes a comfortable living from it. It's good. She works hard. But she's been there for about 15 years now. It's her own business. And it's with a shopping centre. And it's the centre management's rental lease. She's been trying to sell it. But once they hear the rental costs, it's almost impossible to sell. And the centre management have control over how much the lease is. And also that every 5 years you need to refurb everything. Spark everything up, do a whole fit-out sort of painting thing of the whole shop and that. And that balks at people. She makes a comfortable living out of it for herself, but trying to sell it now, How would she go about that? I mean, with centre management, she's up to the stage, she's now has some health issues, that she thinks she may have to walk away from it.
That's be a sad thing, Ahmed.
Yes. Look, Janet, this is a story we often listen to. Whether it's Sydney or Melbourne, it's all the same. The major shopping centres run a tight ship, and yes, you're right, they never give leases more than 5 or 6, maybe 7 years if you're a top brand. At the early stages, doesn't look like a problem, but annual 5% rent increases, in 5 years or so, it really does mount up. And inevitably, for the new lease to be granted, there are requirements for shop fit, as you've said, which requires a huge investment often. Unfortunately, the reality is that whatever the appropriate asking price is for that business, it will vary depending on how much lease term you have. And, a number of buyers, many buyers say, look, we'll stay away from shopping centres. And others, on the other hand, say, yeah, we prefer shopping centres because they do have a track record of bringing in lots and lots of customers, air-conditioned throughout the year, and it suits buyers. But in your particular case, it's not an uncommon story. If there's a short term left on the lease, it does seriously, adversely affect the value of that business. And that's something I'm happy to talk to you about offline. And by all means, but that's the reality.
All right, Jeanette. It's
Thank
AA
you.
Business Brokers, the name of the... we might be able to put you in touch, Jeanette, and all the best to your friend in Sydney.
Thank you very much.
Pleasure. Good morning, James.
How are you going today?
Good, thanks, mate. What can we do for you?
I'm a younger Melbournean. I have a little bit of money saved up. I'm looking to invest in either my own business or buy established... What are the pros and cons of jumping into something with a bit of a track record versus all brand new? What do you recommend?
James, thanks for the call. I suppose, can I ask you, without being too personal, how old are you?
28.
28, that's very good. What about the reality of how much cash do you have or access to funds? What money are we talking about?
I've got about $70,000 saved up.
Okay, that's a very good position to be in. What are your interests in terms of what sort of food, hospitality, technical?
Yeah, look, I don't mind the sitting in front of a table and eating smashed avocado, bacon, eggs.
No, it's not. You don't sit and eat it, James. You've got
to
cook
it. You have to make it. You've got to make it to sell it.
but you get the staff to do it all, don't you? How does it all work?
That's a good question.
Well, I think at the early stages, if you've got $70,000, the basic rules are, at most, we wouldn't recommend you borrow any more than another $70,000. In other words, a 50-50 split. Whether you get that loan or not depends on your own financial position in terms of assets and security and what have you. But I wouldn't expect that you'll be making much money if you're buying a business sort of under 100, 150 and expecting it to be operating what we call under management while you sit there and eat the smashed avocado. I think the reality, James, is you're going to have to get in there and really work hard, grow your business, get to know your customers and become a 24/7 hands-on worker.
Ahmed, I think amongst that avocado was a tongue firmly in cheek from James. Hey, James, got a double pass for you to unlock the best-kept market secrets at the Property Buyer Expo on at the Melbourne Convention and Exhibition Centre, Feb 24 to 26. Good luck with a business if you decide to get into it, and in a year's time, maybe give us a call and let us know how you went. 10:30, and this is 3AW, The Big House for Saturday morning, broadcasting live from Solander Drive in Clyde North. 11:25, Ahmed Ali, Director of AA Business Brokers, is here with me this morning. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning, Ahmed. How are you today?
Good morning, Tony. Thanks for your call.
Thank you. I've got a limousine business. I live in the north part of Melbourne. Started a couple of years ago, and the first 6 months I didn't think it was going to be any good. Maybe I spent too much money, but I'm into the second year now, and I reckon by the end of the year I'll be putting another car on the road.
Yeah, that's good.
Yes, very positive.
Yeah, give a good service to the community. It's 24-hour service. But the only thing is it's only a one-man operation.
Yeah, so when do you get to... when do you choose that point that you are game enough to grow something that you know has potential?
I think, owners sort of can talk to their accountant or people like us as business advisors. And, we're happy to give people guidance. But generally speaking, it's about your physical capacity, your commitment to the business. Do you still have the same energy level? What are your intentions? What is your family position like? Working, many hours through the day, it takes a toll on family life especially. But if you think you've reached a point where you've really laid the basis of a good business, don't move away very quickly. Just think about it. You either put a little bit more money and effort in and grow it and capitalise on a better sale value, or else, if you think your lack of interest maybe or lack of drive is slowing the business down, then maybe it's time to sell and talk to people like us.
Ahmed, I don't think you're anywhere near selling because it sounds like you're ready to expand. What's the name of your limo business, mate?
Northern Sky Limousines.
Northern Sky Limousines, and you're about to put on your second vehicle.
Excellent.
Well, possibly in the next 8 months, I reckon.
Excellent.
I might have to. I've got to get another driver, of course. But
of course, then you've got to pay somebody, Tony.
That's right.
Okay. Good on you, mate.
On a commission.
Yeah, well done. Well done, Tony. Congratulations. That's a positive move, and you'll get the rewards of that in the years to follow.
All the best with it. Adam, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Terrific.
Thank you, Adam.
I'm an owner of a large food franchise in Melbourne, and I've been working. I've been unwell for the last couple of years, and I'm thinking it's time to sell. And I'm really interested in this this discussion. What is the process, Amit, as far as your service in bringing my property to the market? The next steps. What's the service that you provide?
Yeah, look, thank you for your call, Adam. I'm sorry to hear that you're not well. We need to meet and have a chat about how to appraise the value of your business. I don't know whether you're in a food court or in a standalone site, but depending on your sales, your profitability, where that whole scenario is, status of your position in that business location, then we would give you guidance on valuation, business appraisal that is, and then talk to you about how we market it and what we think would be an appropriate sale price.
And the time to bring the property to market?
Well, yes, give us a look. Now we're sort of February. Now is in fact a very good time, having got over the sort of the Christmas holiday period. Our average sale process, Adam, in our office over the last 2 or 3 years, it takes a business about 3 or 4 months to sell. Sometimes we're very lucky, we can find a suitable buyer in 1, 2, 3 weeks. Sometimes, a lot longer. And I have to say some businesses are simply unsellable. Our job is to give vendors like yourself our best advice. You should be listening to us. But sometimes vendors want a particular price that they're not going to budge from, so it becomes hard. So it's about talking our way through, going forward, and reaching the right outcome for you.
All right, Adam, hopefully we've been of assistance for you a little bit this morning. Ahmed, what's the advantage of, or the attraction of having, being part of a franchise?
Franchises are an option to a non-franchise in the sense that, particularly for first-timers, people lacking a little bit of confidence maybe and certainly experience in whatever industry, franchise sets parameters, it gives you support. Depending on the brand, they'll have 4, 6, 8 weeks training courses before you start. You follow their rules, basically.
It's to follow the bouncing ball to a degree. I mean,
that's
you
right.
have to put your own input in there.
But more importantly, the rules restrict you from doing your own thing, so to speak. I mean, if you own a coffee club, a Ferguson Player, Gloria Jeans, and we deal with 50 or so brands. Mm. You can't just suddenly decide tomorrow I'm going to sell shish kebabs.
No, that's right.
You know what I mean? You've got to do what they want you to do. And the other thing, too, importantly, you're paying a franchise royalty fee every week of 8, 10, 12, 15%.
And now, I suppose after a couple of years, that would become frustrating because you feel then that you know what you're doing.
It's always the case. People, after a while, develop their own confidence, want to do their own thing, and they start to become uncomfortable with paying, if you're doing $1 million a year in sales and you're paying 10% in franchise fees, it starts to affect your thinking a little bit, and people make a judgment about whether it's time to move on.
Sonny, good morning.
Good morning, Darren. Good morning, Amit.
Good morning,
Sonny. Nice discussion this morning. I'm a business broker myself, and I just wanted to give a suggestion to the first-time buyers, because a lot of times the first-time buyers, they look at the financials or they go for the weekly pickings, and they say that, oh, it looks all good. But in my experience, a lot of people go wrong when they don't do their own due diligence. So my suggestion to first-time buyers was only that they should do as much homework as they can so that then they can play safe afterward rather than fall down on the ground after, say, 6 months in the business. I'm sure Amit would agree to it.
Absolutely. And that's, I was talking earlier about a due diligence period, which we're party to, and we would make sure that you're consulting your accountant, lawyers, where it's appropriate. We also offer, Sonny, as you would know in the industry, a two-week trial, for example. In other words, in a business, if we're saying the business being has takings of 10, 15, 20,000, that we include in that process a trial, which is a second measure. It's not the perfect measure, but a second measure of giving comfort to the buyer. But what you say is correct. Good, solid analysis and preparation and sound thinking always produces the best results.
Nice one, Sonny. Thank you for bringing that up. Nice advice. And we'll wrap up with Rob. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you going?
Hello, Rob.
I'm retired now, but I've just been listening to your discussions over the last few minutes, and I've been had a career where I successfully bought and sold businesses, but I've always concentrated on businesses that have been poorly managed that I have thought have got great potential and bought into them and been able to build them up and sell them. But the difficulty that I find is a lot of people selling businesses have an inflated view of their value because they're taking so much money out of the business in car leases and so on, which really don't contribute to the profit.
That's quite true, Rob. In fact, one of the, we often get the comment from vendors who say, look, I paid $500 for this business, so I'm looking for $550. Well, that's totally off the mark, because what you paid for it 3 or 4 years ago, it may well be worth more, but not necessarily so. It's about what that business is valued at today. And you've done well in the way you've approached it. There is a whole swag of many, many buyers who look all over the place for businesses that have broken down and need a relift. And that's what they do. They pick up good potential businesses at low prices. And there's a whole marketplace out there making a good living out of that as well.
Anya, Rob, thank you for sharing your experience. Amit Ali, thank you for sharing your invaluable experience. Director of AA Business Brokers, experts when it comes to buying and selling businesses. It's been a delight having you in. I'm sure it will happen again sometime.
Thank you.
Thank you for helping so many people this morning. I'm sure that has happened too.
Thank you, Kevin, for your time. I really appreciate it. Thanks for inviting me on. I'd just like to finish off with reminding listeners of our website address, aabusinessbrokers.com.au, or our office telephone number in Melbourne on 9645 2988.
Perfectly done it.
Many thanks again.
Perfectly done, like a true businessman. Good on you, Ahmed Ali, Director of AA Business Brokers.